Welcome. So today we're going to have a Chalk Talk and Q&A about Project Online. We're going to start with panel introductions, and then we're going to go through kind of the top five most common questions that we hear. And then we'll open up the Q&A. And what we're going to do for the Q&A portion is line up at that microphone that's standing right here in the middle of the room. And if you can keep your questions to one at a time, that would be really helpful so that we get all questions answered if we can. So, panel introductions. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
All right, so my name is Jan Kallis. I'm the product marketing manager from Redmond. So I represent marketing here, and I'm glad that everyone came to ask your great questions.
Hi, my name is Nadine Morali. I'm a PM on the project team. I'm a relatively new PM, and I'm focusing mostly on Project Online.
Great. And my name is Mike McLean. I'm another program manager on the project engineering team. I focus on Project Online also and business intelligence as well.
I'm Mark Boyer, also a program manager on the project team. And I'll answer questions about server reporting and BI, business intelligence.
All right. Thanks, guys. So first up, we've got Mike talking about the question, what are the differences between Project Online and Project Server 2013, and between Project Online and Project Pro for Office 365?
Great. So the differences between Project Online and Project Pro for Office 365 are as follows. This is a common question we get when we say Project Online. People think, well, what is Project Online? Am I editing schedules in the browser? What is this thing I'm subscribing to? Project Online, you can think of, is very similar to Project Server, available in the cloud as an online service. Okay, so when you hear the word Project Online, it's very similar to Project Server. You can also compare that to SharePoint Online. So SharePoint Online is SharePoint Server available in Office 365. So it's the full suite of product and portfolio management capabilities you would normally get in Project Server, just available in the cloud. Now, if you compare that to Project Pro for Office 365, that's actually the desktop client that you know and love for many years. Now, what's different is that's actually available as a click-to-run client. So Project Pro for Office 365 is a click-to-run client. And what that means is that when you download it from Office 365, it actually streams the whole client locally to your machine. And it's much different than what you might be used to with an MSI or installing from a disk, where you just install the whole client all at once. The click-to-run, it can be streamed from 365. And that means you can pull it down to almost any machine, at work, at home. And when you license it through Office 365, you can install it on, I think, up to 5 PCs. So that's the main difference between Project Online and Project Pro for Office 365. So if you take a minute and talk about the difference between Project Online and Project Server on-premises, because I think that was the other category. I'll just highlight a few of the key differences. Now, one of the most important ones is administration. When you administer Project Server, quick show of hands, who has Project Server on-premises today? Anybody? Great, lots of folks. All right, so you're probably aware that when you deploy this on-premises, you have the central admin where you can administer and configure the product. Well, there's a lot of different timer jobs. Can you hear me better now? Is that a little bit louder? All right, there's a lot of different things you can administer through the central admin. And in Project Online, we actually manage and control those in our data center in Office 365. So you don't get access to the central admin in Project Online. What you do get access to is something called the tenant admin. So when you subscribe to Project Online, you're basically a tenant in the data center. You're leasing space in the data center with the online service. So we provide a different interface. It's called the tenant admin. And that's where you can manage your SharePoint site collections, your project web app site collections, your users, and things like that. So administration is one of the differences. So there's a slightly different interface there. Another item would be reporting. So when you have Project Server on-premises, you have access to the reporting database. You can build reports and run all kinds of great SQL queries. Well, again, in Project Online, that data lives in Office 365, and you don't have direct access to the database. So we expose an OData service that can be used for reporting. There's quite a few sessions today or this week that cover OData, so I won't go into too many details. But just know that OData would be used to report in Project Online. Now, when you're on-premises, you could actually do both. So you could use OData and report directly against the database if you want. So you have both options available. It's just in Project Online, you can't go directly against the database. So we covered administration, we covered reporting. I'll briefly mention there's a few things that are not available in Project Online. OLAP cubes, okay. That's a very frequent question we get. People say, well, I use cubes on premises. You know, I didn't see the button to create these cubes, and online, well, it's not there. OLAP cubes analysis services is not deployed in Office 365. It's not a secret. We don't hide it. It's not available yet. There'll probably be different technologies that address those scenarios in the future. And then I believe there's some notifications and reminder scenarios that are available on premises that aren't online yet. I think lastly I'll mention that in absence of OLAP cubes, you can look at services like Power BI and some of the new functionality that's coming in Office 365, because they're looking at new ways to address those scenarios. So Power BI will be something great for Project Online and Office 365, and that will add a lot of value there, probably more so than on-premises. So
great. Thank you. That's it. You're up again.
Can I add to that? I guess it won't be marketing if I wouldn't have anything to add, right? No. I just want to say, guys, that thank you, because you have published a great white paper on side-to-side differences between Project Server and Project Online. And so I guess you guys will keep it updated. And so...
Is that a hint?
So please feel free to search for that article, for that white paper. It's on TechNet. It's under Project Server and Project Online. So it's a great read as well.
Thanks. All right, so next question. Mike, you're up again on this one. How is my data kept secure, and who has access to it?
Okay. How is your data kept secure, and who has access to it? All right, well, there's a lot of funny jokes we can make about this, but I'll just stick to the question. So in Project Online in Office 365, we actually, there's several different measures that we take and policies we follow to make sure that your data is secure. This ranges from like operational policies and who can enter certain buildings, all the way to software and encryption like that. So I highlighted a few. First of all, we obviously restrict physical access to the data centers in Office 365. Any of the data centers, even the campuses at Microsoft, I mean, you can't get into some of these rooms unless you are part of the operations team that supports the service. Even me, I look like a pretty trusting guy, but even I can't get into some of these rooms. Okay, so we do restrict physical access to people who are on kind of like a need-to-know basis in some of these rooms. So that's kind of the first step that we take. They are different layers of security. These are 24-hour secured access. You can think of everything from camera surveillance, alarms, everything, if these things are breached. Like I said, we do enable encryption of the data when it's transmitted across the wires. That's built in. But also on the engineering team, for example, if we need to troubleshoot an issue, we do have the ability to get into different parts of the data center or the farms, by logging in and remoting in. But it's not like we can just pull up a page and log in really quickly and see this data. We implement a two-factor authentication. So you actually must insert your card that identifies who you are, at Microsoft, and then log in. And then you have access to, repair the service or make changes or whatnot. But what's interesting is that even though we log in, we actually can't see any of the customer data. All of that is obfuscated. So any of the what we call PII related to, your name, sites, any of that, we actually can't see that.
And yeah, I was going to add this.
Right. So it's encrypted. So that's probably an important point to note. So we don't have access to any of that. In Office 365 and Project Online, we don't do things like mine your data for advertising. I think Microsoft's pretty honest and pretty open about that, right? We've seen all the campaigns. We also don't delete your data unless you've had sufficient time to recover or move it. For example, if you need to off board from the service for some reason, we don't just wipe out your data the minute you stop paying. There's a transition period that happens, so we try to handle it pretty carefully. We do things like enforce hard passwords. That's another kind of operational policy across Microsoft. So you have to have upper, lower, character, number of, 20 character, whatever it is, passwords. So it's pretty secure. And lastly, I'll point out that we do host customer data in your region. So for example, if you sign up in Europe or Asia or US, we have data centers located across the globe, and your tenant gets placed based on the country you enter when you sign up. So your data is stored in region, and we do back up your data. So that's the next question we always get to. Who has access to your data? How is it kept secure? We have backups that run various times a day throughout the month, different periods, and they are backed up to different data centers. So we try to separate this across geography so it's kept secure.
Just I wanted to add one thing on the security and the PII. Not only we do not have access to the name or the task that you have or the task or the name of your projects, we only have also a very vague idea of the type of project. For example, we have no idea how long your tasks are going to be, how long your project is going to be. We have a vague idea of how big your project is, what type of how many tasks you have, these type of things, and that's it. You know, it's very vague for us. Really, we cannot see anything.
Guys, I think this is really impressive, and I think that this is a very important aspect that every one of us and every one of you should think about when you're considering competitor cloud offerings or even dedicated cloud solutions, if they really have such strict rules to protect your information and your PII. So I think this is one of the important value propositions for Office 365 and, of course, Project Online.
And I can point out the handout. I think, did everybody get a copy of this, Sonia?
There's some right on the corner of the table at the back.
Great. So Sonia put together a great handout that has a top 10 list. Questions you should ask a cloud service provider when you're considering cloud for your IT. So just like Jan mentioned, this is a great thing to run through. I think it has a link to the Office 365 site. Like Jared mentioned in the keynote this week, there's a Trust Center out there. You can take a look at Trust Center. I think it's trustoffice365.com. And we actually list all of the certifications we've achieved. There's probably more than I can name, HIPAA, ISO, FISMA, and the list just keeps growing. So,
excellent. Thank you. All right, next up is Jan. How does licensing work?
Oh, surprise, thank you. thank you. That's another frequent question. We have a specialist on licensing here with us in the room, so if you would have any follow-up questions, then we'll definitely be glad if Atul can help answering those questions. So just in a nutshell, frequently we hear if someone wants to buy Project Online, how do they need to purchase Office 365, or what can they do if they could it be added on to to Office 365? And so Project Online in a nutshell could be either bought, purchased, or tried separately, or you can add it on to multiple Office 365 subscriptions. For example, SharePoint Online or some of the eSKUs or the eSKUs. Or you can purchase it separately, and in that case, it will create a separate tenant that is separated from your Office 365 environment. Then another question, and maybe related to the trial that you have available, because your trial comes with also Project Pro for Office 365, which is, as Mike mentioned, the streamed version of Project Professional, Project Desktop. And every project manager who will use this Project Professional will need to have the Project Pro for Office license or Project Professional 2013 license. Furthermore, if that project manager is publishing the data to the cloud, meaning to Project Online, that project manager would also need the license of Project Online. So that's pretty much in a nutshell. Let me ask one question, Atul. I know that you have been working on enabling, combining Project Online with some other SKUs, other plans outside of the enterprise plan. Could you say a few words about this? Because we heard a lot of questions on this.
So I think, Jan, you alluded to that if you have an eSKU, E-plan or the whole E1, E2, E3, 4, can you add project online to the same tenant or the same subscription? Yes, you can do that. The only kind of caveat or the fine print is that if you have an M-SKU, the mid-size SKU today, project online or any of the project subscriptions cannot be added on. We are working on enabling that. So today it is not available. I think that was the, yeah.
Exactly. And by the way, I've also seen people want to add project online to P-SKUs.
Yeah, yeah, same, yeah.
So
yeah.
Would it be enabled in the future?
We are working on the M thing right now. P is not on the roadmap yet, so yeah.
So we cannot combine Project Online with P-SKU or
yeah.
The small business?
M, yeah. Yeah, mid-size, sorry. We kind of just use the alphabets. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Atul.
Sorry. First question from the audience. Oh.
Yeah.
For SharePoint, so that means we're good to enable project online. It's the same SharePoint farm that we're going to use.
Yeah, you can add on to the, so if you are an individual user of E1 or E2, E3, 4, you can add on project to that. Yeah.
By the same count, if I just a
sure.
Diversion question, always, I think another conversation in the hybrid model. So if we were to have a private hosted cloud, we would need to buy SharePoint CALs in order to be able to have project online.
Maybe we need to take that offline because whenever we think of online, we leave the CALs on the on-premise side. So that's where maybe we can connect on that issue, yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much, Atul, and sorry for putting you on spot.
All right, next question. This is number 4. We got one more after that. So Nadine, you're up for this one. How do I migrate from Project Server 2010 to Project Online?
Okay, so there's 3 ways this can kind of be done. The first one is using Project Professional 2013. You basically load up your MPP file from Project Professional 2010, and you basically point it to the Project Online, and basically whatever information that we have in the MPP file will actually get pushed out onto your instance. So your projects, your task assignments, those type of like that type of information will go with it. But anything that would normally be stored on the server and not be stored in the MPP file, like any admin settings, portfolio analysis, those type of areas and timesheets will not be pushed up onto Project Online. But you'll be able to get your projects, your tasks, and your task resources and task assignments, sorry, all of that will be able to go online. The second option is that we have some partners that have developed tools, Fluent Pro, Migrator Pro, I don't remember the exact name off the top of my head, but they have a tool. They're in the expo. So they have a tool where you'll point them, you'll use that tool, and you'll point it at your Project 2010 server, and a good chunk of the information, I don't have the exact list, there are a couple things I don't think that will go, but most of the data in your project database will pretty much be pushed onto Project Online. And then the third option is basically more of a sort of a different strategy, which is basically you finish using your projects, whatever's on project on your Project Pro 2010 server, you just continue using those, finish those off, start your new ones using Project Online, and then you might have to do some work for reports and stuff like that, and you won't necessarily have the ability to know if a task is assigned to a project that's online versus one that's on-prem. But those are sort of the 3 strategies you have available to you.
Excellent. Thank you. Last question, Mark. How does reporting work in Project Online?
Yeah, so Mike started answering this question, so I'll try to be fast and recap what he said. When you are thinking about Project Online, your data, your reporting table now lives in SQL and it's a multi-tenancy environment, so we are not going to give you access to that SQL database. The way for you to be able to get access to that reporting database is to use the Open Data Protocol that we talked about in many sessions already, and there is a new one, another one tomorrow also. You can directly connect to that open data. You can directly use that open data protocol with Excel, for example, or any of the Excel tool, or you can also use that new implementation with SSRS and SSIS that we presented also during this convention.
Excellent. Thanks. All right. So now it's kind of your turn. So if you do have questions, if you could just line up at this mic, that way it gets recorded in the session recording that's available after the conference. So and these folks are happy to answer your questions.
So I'll go ahead and get things started. I have one question with like 6 parts. So this will be kind of...
Is it like 6 questions or 7 parts?
We'll lose count. So project online, is there any limitation to the size of a project?
So the current limit to the size of an instance is 10 gigabytes. So that's how big your PWA instance with all the data inside of it can go.
And does it include the
No, so that's just the PWA. So what, if you look, think of a 2013 instance, it's whatever would be inside the project database.
Okay.
That size of that can only be 10 gigs. So any documents and stuff that normally would be stored in SharePoint is not included in that limit.
Okay.
And the next question might be how many PWA instances can you have? It's currently 3.
And what's the limitation of the front-end database, if there is any?
Well, online it varies, because what happens is when you start uploading those documents and the other collateral, that goes against the quota for the SharePoint site collections. And it really depends on, I think, how many sites you have and how that gets distributed across the site collections. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. It's definitely much higher than 10 gigs, though.
But it definitely could be looked up on the TechNet side for SharePoint Online, because this is not necessarily a question for Project Online, but for SharePoint Online, if it makes sense. Thank you.
Sorry, if you don't mind, you said three PWAs. What did you mean by that?
So normally when you set up Project Server 2013, you have a one project database, which is that's considered one project instance, so all the projects in there and resources are all grouped together. So you can actually have three of those set up online, and each one currently has a maximum size of 10 gigabytes, which I don't know how hard that would be to reach, because there's not much sort of documents you can upload into the project database. Any documents you upload right now go into content database anyways.
Okay. So the three instances all under the same URL, is that transparent to the user?
You get to pick the URL you want. So it's going to be like your site, whatever, /PWA is normally the default one that's created, but then you can make whatever sort of sites you want.
So there'd be PWA1, PWA2.
Sure.
But not, so it's visible to the user. They have to know where to go.
Yeah.
The first one is linked automatically, and that's very easy to reach. The other one, as an administrator, you have to put a link on the left nav, for example, and that's easy to reach also.
And actually, I'll add one point. When you create these instances, you can, like they mentioned, when you sign up for Project Online, there's one that's provisioned by default. It's found at site/PWA. You'll probably see that when you sign up for the free trial that everyone's going to go use.
Okay.
Now, when you want to create the additional ones, you can go to that tenant admin I mentioned, and you can do a brand new one from scratch. You do new private site collection with PWA, and then it'll spin it up for you right there. Alternatively, if you create a new site collection, just a regular old site collection without any project functionality, you can come to that tenant admin, and then you can add PWA to it. So you can actually add it to an existing site collection as well. So
okay.
There's a few different ways to get those created. Like Nadine said, you can have three total.
Okay. Great answer. I wasn't expecting that, but that's a great answer.
Pleasure.
How about number of transactions? Some users log in and out once a day, and other people work the tool all day long. Is there any limitation on that, or is that you got a license, have at it?
There's no limit that I've heard of.
Okay.
Right. We are all surprised here. We all use it every day, and all the time. So, maybe there is a limitation, but.
Okay.
I mean, there are certain metrics that can, I guess, go off. If like, for example, going back to the security question, if, for example, a user is hitting for a large number of times and it's kind of abnormal, like it would flag it to us, but we don't automatically throttle any of these responses. So it wouldn't be anything noticeable from a regular end user.
Other than our normal like protection that we think we're being hacked,
that
type of stuff, but there's no limit that we have in place right now.
Okay.
So don't try to hack
I'm good. That's the first thing I'll do.
I concur with that as a customer. So.
Okay.
You're a sandbox.
Basically, don't work too hard.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Just to repeat it for the recording, don't work too hard.
So as we know, on-premise, the more fields that you add, at some point you get to a point where you're affecting performance. Is that, so we're conscious of that in the on-premise world. In Project Online, that door is standing open. Is there a point where you say, you know, you're allowed so many fields and you are stopped?
Or are you mainly talking about like custom fields?
Yes.
Adding custom fields?
Yes.
And when you talk about the performance, are you referring to a certain aspect like loading Project Center or reporting or?
I think that's a good question. So it's generally user response time, opening, saving, publishing, that sort of thing that your box can only handle so much. But now that we pay $33 and we let that be your problem, instead of stopping at 100 fields, let's say, we just say, now we have no borders on fields. That's Microsoft's problem. We're paying them $33. Let them deal with it. I would think that there's got to be some kind of middle ground there, that there's a limit or could be a limit.
Right. We should probably talk about the limit to custom fields because...
Do you know what they are? I know there is a limit. I just don't know.
Yeah. So I believe the limit is about 50, if I'm not mistaken. 50 custom fields in Project Online. On-premise, I don't believe there is a limit. I think, like you said, you can go as high as you want. For Project Online right now, and actually, I think we did a lot of research among customers to try to find a good number, because you're right, if we left it open and it was unlimited, we'd be pretty exposed. And I have another point I'll mention about running the service ourselves and some of the learnings that we've experienced.
Okay.
But I believe for custom fields, the limit is 50. And anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys know a different number.
Hey, Mike, there is an article on office.com about this, and
it says
45 text fields.
45 text fields, okay. I was close.
Is there anything specific for calculated or formula fields?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So. And I'll mention that I was actually talking to somebody else this week at this conference, and they mentioned that as you add the number of fields, if you're using things like project permission mode, that can affect how Project Center loads.
Yes.
So I would just mention that as something to look out for. There's also SharePoint permissions mode, which is a little bit different, and I think you may encounter less issues. But for example, if you have all of these fields, you may want to add less fields to your Project Center views, so you're loading less data, and that might help some of the page performance. And then when you're reporting, like Mark said with OData, you can trim down the number of fields you retrieve, so you're not always pulling all the data, and that might help out a little bit too.
Okay. And then the last question in the same theme is... I'm assuming master projects are permitted in Project Online?
I think so. I don't think there's anything stopping us from doing master and sub projects.
Master and sub, yeah.
Are supported?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Reporting was only picking up the master, though, not the subs. So that might be a little.
Okay.
Not sure if that's a known issue or some.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Somebody else had their hand. Go ahead.
Thought I saw them. Is it possible to do a migration the reverse way from online to on-premise?
Why would you ever want to do that?
No. Maybe the limitations. And is it possible?
Right. So we don't provide a way to do that directly, but as Mike said earlier, you have access to all your data. So you can actually get either through OData, or I don't know if there's more than one method, but there's like through OData, for example, you can go through and suck your data back down into your own database. Or using your CSOM or PSI interfaces, you can actually get to all your information and bring it down. But we don't have a thing in place where we'll FTP you a project server database. There's nothing like that in place.
Okay, because the Office 365 with the Exchange mailboxes, there are a few command lets, and you... you have the ability to migrate from Exchange server to the cloud, and I think also the reverse way. This is not out of the box possible with Project Online.
I'm not aware of any commandless.
I'm not aware of any automatic way to do it. You know, as Nadine mentioned, you have the way to save your data, you own your data, and there are multiple ways to do this. And then after that, you can spin off your own on-prem and then reinstall your data there.
But so this is what we talk from the Microsoft perspective, right? Microsoft doesn't have any tools, but
that's
again,
correct.
The partners like Fluent Pro, exactly. That's exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So Fluent Pro, they have actually generic tool that can migrate any data across on-premises, online, and across different versions, and even from competitive solutions. So if you're migrating competitive solution, you can use their tool. Tom?
Your site collection limit, by the way, is 100 gigabytes.
Okay, site collection limit, 100 gigabytes. Great. So,
and that's outside of the 10 gigabytes that's you get correct. For the project.
Yeah, actually, all the limits are online. You do a quick search and find them all really quick. And all the limits for both the project online and SharePoint.
Cool, thanks.
So the question was, is if you're using Project Pro for Office 365, can you connect to both online and on-prem?
Basically, to give you a quick background, we have a huge on-premises hosted environment at Accenture. And due to some licensing issues for some of our clients, it looks like
so the difference between Project Professional 2013 and Project Pro for Office 365 is they're the same, but Project Pro for Office 365 is actually streamed down from the cloud, and it's actually always going to be the latest version available. But you can do you can always point to on-prem servers or online with it.
So you don't need to be connected to online.
No.
You can connect to on-premises project server as well.
Yeah. So you can run it, install it, disconnect from the internet, connect to your intranet, and point it to a project server.
Well, the only thing that I haven't tried is that what happens after a certain period of time when you launch Project Pro for Office 365 and you haven't been connected to internet for, let's say, 5 months, and it probably would check the service and see if the license is still valid. So I would make... Well, okay, so once in 30 days. Okay, that's great.
So I think the click-to-run versions, Project Pro for Office 365, like it was... Oh, sorry. I was wondering where that echo is coming from. Maybe I'll move more further. So you have to connect to the internet at least once every 30 days. No, I mean, I'm just highlighting that. I think it was highlighted that you can just disconnect from the internet and just use your intranet, but
thank you so much.
And one more thing that I was clarifying with Atul, because with Project Professional, you get automatically client access license for Project Server. So if you're connecting Project Professional to on-premises Project Server, the client access license to Project Server is already included with Project Professional. And Atul confirmed that the same client access license is included with Project Pro for Office 365. So you get Project Pro for Office 365 that you can connect to Project Server on premises, but if you need to use, let's say, the same license, the same person would need to also publish to Project Online, then that person would also need to have a valid Project Online license in the cloud. Yeah, correct. So if you want to use only the desktop application, then you would need only Project Pro for Office 365. Exactly.
Thank you so much.
More questions? Anyone else?
Anyone has? Dariana, please.
Hi. Yesterday I had a session that went quite wrong because it crashed. And so...
That's your problem, Nadine.
And so I was just wondering, we closed it, and then we could actually enter it by doing Chrome instead. And what's the story with that?
One thing that I noted actually here on the computers that are pre-installed, because the computers here on site are pre-installed by... there's an image that is pre-installed on all those computers. And I've seen some weird settings in Internet Explorer. And so what helped is that when we resetted all the settings for Internet Explorer, then it started working, or if you use some other browser, as I'm saying, so like Chrome.
All right, because we actually managed to log on twice on the same computer that day, and it worked perfectly, and then, suddenly it did.
So I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. I was just wondering what happened. But
I would go back to the Internet Explorer setting, and I would say there's always this best practice to test the demo on the exact computer that you are going to demo from.
Yeah, we did that.
You did that.
We did that.
And it worked, and then later it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So the other part of my question was, so do we have performance issues, like when everybody's trying to log on and do their trial? I think it was about that time that it was the end of the day, and then they wanted to do the 3 months trial. And then we couldn't log on at that point. I was just wondering.
The amount of people that we have here, I hope it should not matter.
Okay, good. Thank
you. Well, plus, when you look at the service, we actually have multiple networks, multiple farms, multiple data centers in each region. So even if everybody here was signing up at the same time, everybody would be sent to different farms. You know, some of us might land in the same place, but we have multiple farms in multiple networks, so it spreads out. And we distribute this load based on the capacity that we have and the weights that we can assign. And when you look at Office 365, it's interesting because we are Project Online, but there's also a lot of other features like search, right? And then all the other features that SharePoint has to offer, content management, there's the provisioning of customers sign up for just regular SharePoint. So they distribute the load based on how all of these services are performing and kind of the lowest common denominator. So yeah, I would hope that everybody signing up doesn't affect it, or we know about it.
And the good one for your story is that you prove that we do support every type of browser.
Just not in Linux.
My question is around hybrid deployments. I mean, there could be use cases where, for instance, we are an O365 SP 2013 and might just want to have on-prem 2013. So publishing working with Office 365, which is completely cloud-based, and 2013 on-prem, are there any use cases, any studies, any suggestions? I mean, is there anything that we need to watch out for, or is there anything that, it's just a hypothetical question in the event that we have this on-prem and the rest of it on the cloud, is there any behavior?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting scenario. And I'll tell you, since launching Project Online, it's probably one of the most frequent discussions we have with customers because it's really hard to make the jump, going from strictly being on-premises to being in the cloud 100%. And a lot of times it's a gradual move, and that's why, like Nadim described a little bit, maybe as you're migrating to the cloud, you keep Project Server running while you're finishing off some projects, because maybe you don't want to incur the expense of trying to save those up and migrate them when they're going to finish in a few months anyway. So I guess like the most common hybrid approaches I would see is maintaining your existing instance for a while and kind of letting that trickle off. It's definitely an area that we're looking at pretty closely to figure out, well, how do we manage this? Because a lot of it is around how do you bring that data together? It all comes down to the data. And when you look at the BI teams and some of the scenarios they're enabling with Power BI as well, I think that'll help, because now with things like Power BI, you'll have the ability to have some data on premises, and when you build a report and you need to refresh it, you can actually connect to that from the cloud and then combine it with other data. So there's steps, I think, across Microsoft, like heading in that hybrid direction. It's just going to depend on your scenario.
I would say the same thing. I know that for the user with ADFS, you can at least have the same bank of users. But then after that, the project data is a bigger story.
Beecher.
No. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about Project Lite. I mean, I didn't know anything about it until yesterday. And, in context of SharePoint permissions mode and Project Server permission mode and sharing based on groups and I'm just not sure how that's going to all play out. How do you share a Project Lite to a site license, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the announcement on Monday was pretty exciting, right? Because Project Online, it's a premium SKU, and to have something that's $7, it really opens the door for a lot of new scenarios. And I'll talk a little bit, and then if you have anything else to add around the team member license, feel free to jump in. But just conceptually, it's really focused on paying less money, because there's a category of folks that are not necessarily project managers that need all of the PM functionality, but they would still need access to use a service and perform certain actions. So that's why it's labeled as the team member SKU. So it will be focused on kind of a smaller subset of users, and then they'll probably have access to less functionality, so probably not some of the major PMO actions. I would imagine they would need access to certain parts of the site to perform actions that a team member would do, like around statusing and tasks. But I think that there's more information that will be announced pretty soon about that. So is there anything else you'd like to add? The default permissions that the team members get today? Okay. Because today, when you're in SharePoint permissions mode, there's a few categories of permissions. There's the administrator, the portfolio manager, project manager, and team member, right? And resource manager, right? And yeah, feel free to take over. And so the actions that the team member school will be allowed to do will be more closely aligned with that team member and SharePoint permissions.
Yeah, so essentially, Project Lite members will automatically be added to the team member group. More information about this will come out later, and that's how it will work in SharePoint permission mode. But more information, I don't know all the details, but I believe that's how it's supposed to work.
Okay, I just was wondering, because you can share a site and decide who you're sharing it to and at what group they want.
So when you say you're sharing a site, you're talking about SharePoint instead of project then.
Okay,
so,
but if you're in project permissions mode, you can also put users in particular groups that have particular permissions.
Yes, but the functionality they get on the project side of that site is different than the functionality they'll get on the SharePoint side, right? So on the SharePoint side, they'll get access to the documents and anything that's been uploaded there, but stuff that has to do with like project web parts and stuff and scheduling and stuff like that, the access will be different. I don't have all the details, so I don't want to.
First of all, thank you. Fantastic question. We forgot about it. So you might not have the answer, but the question is sometimes, and Dale had the same thought, it's just for dashboard reporting. It's a project SharePoint site. It's exec dashboards that are created. So that kind of stuff hopefully would be in this $7 thingy.
It depends where you are going to save it, actually. Because if it's really going to be a team member, and I believe Nadine's word on this, then if you are saving the report in a place where the team member cannot access, then you won't have access to it. Likely, they won't be able to refresh it. Even if you give them access to a library, for example, that they can access, they won't be able to refresh the data, because you want to have a project manager type of people who can refresh the data. And accessed. But static report, it's possible, maybe not out of the box, so you may need to move the report into a new library that you create specifically for this, and you assign these specific permissions.
Okay. Sorry, I have one more question that comes to my mind when you're talking about Chrome. Why there are so much incompatibility between the Internet Explorer versions and the Project Center and so on? Because when I use the newest Internet Explorer and I open the Project Center of Project Server 2010, then it shows me that you need at least Internet Explorer version 7. You had to enable the compatibility mode to view the Project Center. I expect that both products are from Microsoft. Why?
We are a very big company. That's an awesome question for the Internet Explorer team. We pretty much have the same one.
Okay. Is this? I haven't tried with 2013. Was this fixed? Is it possible with the new Internet Explorer to open the Project Center without enabling the compatibility mode?
So I haven't had to turn on compatibility mode for Project Server 2013. I have had to do it for Project Server 2013.
Yes, I know, with 10.
But I haven't had to do it for 2013. So And because 2013 is supposed to be HTML5 compliant.
Not only the Internet Explorer version was determined correctly. It shows me that you need that last version 7, and I have 11 or L10.
I ran into that building a 2010 demo. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the same is also for when I have Project 2013 client pro, I cannot connect to 2010.
Okay,
I think.
So Project Pro for Office 365 and Project Professional 2013 can only connect to Project Server 2013 or Project Online. So I'll say that one more time. So
We're with on-premise 2010 version.
So only thing that connect to on-premise 2010 will be Project Professional 2010 and Project Professional 2007 with Service Pack 2 if you have backwards compatibility.
Yes. Okay. But if you have a brand new Windows 8 laptop or something else, you install normally the 2013 version of Project Professional, and you cannot connect to Server 2010.
Yeah, you can't connect. So SharePoint permission mode and project permission mode are both available online. So I just want to be clear on that. And delegation is not available in SharePoint permission mode.
Right.
At
least I know. I just didn't know that you can switch to
project. Yeah, project permission mode is available on project online.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you can find that in the tenant admin that I mentioned. So when you go sign up for your tenant, just look for tenant admin or search for tenant admin, and that's where that setting is. Right.
On premises, it's what functions?
Both. There's an interface, central admin interface, and then there's also PowerShell.
Central admin on SharePoint.
Yeah.
And by user interface, you mean admin, right? Exactly. Not every user.
So there's a security session at 5 o'clock that will cover some of the project permission mode and some of the SharePoint permission mode stuff.
There's one more thing that we were just debating with Atul if it was conveyed clear enough, which is the reporting. So if you're looking for executive reporting, then the right license is Project Online, not Project Lite.
In Project Online, and this is actually two questions. Can apps do the same thing like farm solutions, and what is the future for sandbox solutions?
So everyone is looking at me, so no pressure. No, so it's a great question for extensibility. As you may know, we have changed the extensibility model for not only Project Online but also SharePoint Online to follow the new world of extensibility. And Project Online could be extended through the client-side object model, which is the CSAM. It's the new API that does support OAuth and other internet technologies. You can still use the PSI, the Project Server interface, but there is a little trouble. Well, you can still use that, but there is some additional work that you need to do in terms of authentication because you cannot use OAuth. So that's the technicality. If I step back, what we were used to previously, that all our code that you deployed as a developer was living on premises on the same server, for example, as your SharePoint or as your Project Server, which obviously is not possible today. So what you can do, you can actually host your solution in, let's say, Azure or some other solution. Or there is a very great session done, I think, tomorrow about how you can use JSON, which is pretty much JavaScript, that can live
on a SharePoint page, and you can build solutions that live run Java code and then live right in the Project Online or SharePoint Online world. Does it answer the question? Unfortunately, I cannot comment on the sandbox solution. I don't know, and I think that the best thing would be because we are following the same development model as SharePoint Online, and so if you're interested in sandbox, I would check with the SharePoint Online people. I would check with MSDN what SharePoint Online has to say in this regard. And also one plug to it, there's a development session tomorrow that is done, excuse me, by Chris Givens, the MVP, and Bill Avery, who's the physical developer on the engineering team who wrote the CSUM interface. So I think that if you're a developer, that would be a session that is totally spot on for you. And maybe they can answer even these questions. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. The session is recorded, so we definitely appreciate that.
Fair enough. I know that in Project Server 2013, the operational policies was promoted up to central admin. But what about corruption or mistakes that are made on project plans? So reverting back to a previous version, restoring, and Project Online.
Okay, so the restore capabilities that you're familiar with on 2010 are not available in Project Online, so you won't be able to do some of that similar functionality to revert. So I believe that's why they were moved to the central admin, because those are not available online, so they were moved to a different location since central admin isn't available online. So that's one other gap where you won't be able to... so you won't be able to do that in Project Online.
Right. I guess I'm just more concerned. Are there any plans to address or alleviate that in some fashion? Because that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I guess the tricky part of the scenario is that to be able to revert back to a previous version means we have to store all of that, right? And then it gets kind of tricky, because when you have tens or thousands or however many tenants we have in the same data center, you have all these copies of all this data for all these customers. I think we've heard it a couple times. It's not something that that we've heard a lot. So if it is important to folks, I would say suggest bubble it up, and then we can see where it falls, on the backlog.
Yeah, I participated in a couple of discussions about this. So certainly, if there is a catastrophic situation, we have backups. We are going to bring back the data for the full farm and everything. But that's what I meant for the full farm. That means that the other tenant will also be affected. So I'm talking about catastrophic situation, right? For your own tenant, as Mike mentioned, that capability is not there in Project Online.
And I hate to use the answer partner opportunity, but this definitely could be a great partner opportunity. And we are talking to a number of partners, those who provide this functionality from the SharePoint artifacts. So some of those can already now backup and, of course, roll documents and the SharePoint artifacts. So we are talking to them about enabling this for Microsoft Project, including Project Online. And the second, but again, I cannot promise any timeline or anything. But from the extensibility perspective, in theory, this is something that you can potentially build and offer as a solution in the store. And because you can, I'm just thinking about how to build this from the architecture perspective, because you can capture the publish event, and on the publish event, you will just store the data outside.
Right.
But again, the question is, for the restore perspective, if you are really able to get all the, even the binary data that the project professional potentially needs to operate, I don't know the answer exactly to that.
It's because, oops, I made a mistake in my project plan, and I have to go back, and I didn't realize I made the mistake until it's been published for a couple of days.
Hi. This is a problem that I currently have in Project Server 2010, and it's like I need people from offshore vendors accessing to the project sites, but because they're not in the trusted domain Active Directory, they can do it. So is that solved in any way in online, or is it the same?
So it's not available for project online. That's called external user. That's something that you may be familiar with if you have SharePoint online. It's available in SharePoint online, not in project online right now. And that's it. It's an ask that I've heard from a couple customers, so it's definitely in our mind, but no timeline right now. So not possible at that time.
So it's not possible in 2010 either in any way?
I don't know about 2010.
2010, I'm not sure. Like 2010 on-premises? Yeah, I'm not sure. But like Mark said, in online service, it's not available in Project Online. If you have other SharePoint sites where you're storing collateral and collaborating, those can be shared with external users. You just go to the site, you click share, you can drop in their email, and then it gets shared to them as an external user. So that it is a great feature, and it's awesome for collaborating in SharePoint, and we're thinking, you know, we've heard about it. It's been a request for project too. So
is it time for us to make up questions for you?
No question on reporting? Nobody's super excited about the SSRS integration?
Woohoo!
that's awesome.
Cool.
One question about the possibility to download the data in my own SQL server. Just to make sure that, okay, if I publish the business reports in the cloud, the reporting site, compared filling my own reports from the data.
In case, so the question, that's the multiplexing. Do you want to take the question? So there is something that is in Microsoft licensing that is called multiplexing that actually requires you to have license even if you are, let's say, offloading in the scenario that you mentioned, if you would be sucking data through either this infrastructure that is being developed or by your solution, if you would be taking the data off to and the other SQL server, and all the people who would access that data through SSRS or whatever reporting technology need still the license for Project Online. The only exception would be if you would hire a number of people who would be in the between and they would be retyping the data.
Even if the download is daily basis or weekly basis, it's not online.
As soon as it's automated download, then you need to have the license. And maybe Atul can...
The only thing you said it all. I would just say just look up multiplexing, and that explains the only exception. Like one of the guys says, if you have to ask the question, do you need a license? The answer is yes. So, but if you look up multiplexing, the only exception is if somebody's manually taking the data and typing, punching it in. So
thanks for asking. No, but... There's one thing to add to this. It is not project-specific regulation. It is just all up Microsoft technology. So if you would be talking about some other Microsoft technology and offloading some of the data from Dynamics AX or different Microsoft product, it the same applies. So shall we repeat the question? So the question was, just to make this clear, if I have Project Online and I'm extracting the data and putting them into Azure or some other infrastructure, and there's someone who accesses that report that was built based on this extracted data, that person still needs the Project Online license because the person, he or she, is accessing still the data that were created by Project Online. Well, I think we answered the point was online or online light. I think we've answered the executive reporting before.
That's okay.
Anyone else? We got about 10 more minutes.
This is a question probably of interest to one other person in the room, but can you tell us anything about Australia and when it's coming?
So the question is, can we tell them anything about Australia? Is that targeted towards...
So, Stuart, great question. The question was... Well, so, I'm sorry, it was spoken on the mic. So, in Australia, there's, I think, Dux is teaching people to dance. That's what's going on next door. Do you want to take a look? No.
You do it in the evening.
Okay. So, in Australia, there is a special model where Microsoft does not sell any of the Office 365 products directly, but we sell them through a syndication partner who is Telstra. Thank you. And so there are two ways how to purchase Project Online in Australia. The one thing is go through Telstra, and of course they need to offer that SKU as part of their offering. Or the second question is to go to the LAR and purchase Project Online directly from the LAR. Okay, so the comment is that Telstra is not offering Project Online.
Do you buy like under EA or something like that?
Well, we're a partner, so...
Okay, sorry. Okay. We'll take a look at the Telstra thing. Like, yeah.
I think the Telstra arrangement expires in May, and so maybe that's the milestone that needs to be reached.
You took an order in Australia for Project Online, so I don't know how that's being fulfilled.
We cannot sell direct. That's the... either we go through Telstra.
But the LAR still can sell it, right? That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Like Jan said, today we have a new CEO, and we heard he's a big fan of Australia. So, you never know.
Satya.
Satya Nadella.
Any other questions? I was worried that we would need to improvise, like taking some ideas from next door.
Just a generic question is like, how long it will take the process from migrating from Project Server 2010 to Project Online, like typical migration, I would say.
Nadine, you just did this. didn't you do this on upgrade?
No, I didn't upgrade to online. Is that your question was from 2010 to online?
Yes.
You'd have to look at the partner tools. I haven't tried them out.
How would you go from 2010 to what, 2013?
How long would that take? Sorry? Yeah, so the tool I mentioned it can go from 2010 or 2013, I believe, to online.
So let me step back. I think the migration in general consists of different phases. The one is definitely the envisioning, where you're seeing what you have on 2010 and how you want to migrate it to 2013 or online. And then it's the planning, and then, of course, is the physical migration. One thing is important to know that even if you have some fully trusted workflows, or if you have workflows, if you have demand management on Project Server 2010, or if you have any other fully trusted solution, that cannot be migrated to Project Online. Such solution would need to be rebuilt. And for there's a good news for workflows, because the workflows could be rebuilt in Visio and or SharePoint Designer, so you don't have to hire back that developer who built that workflow for you in 2010. Another example is reporting. The reporting potentially need to be reconnected to old or through old data, because typically the reporting that you had on 2010 on premises was connected through ODBC, so you just need to go to the connections and reconnect it to the OData interface. So there might be some more actions that is needed to you're required to do. So there's no, I don't think that there's any general answer. It would take this long or it would take that long. It just depends based on what you are trying to migrate and what is the process in your organization and how it all fits in.
So you can, yeah, so what would be the process to do a user-specific report, right? So you would want to do a report where you would only show data from the project that that user has access to. You would need to add an auditor query specifically trimmed for that specific user. There is a way to do this programmatically. You could, I don't know, actually, that's a good question. I think that if the user is part of the resources, then you can look at the project that this resource belongs to, and then you can trim down after that the search, the query only on this specific project and retrieve that data. There could be some other ways to do this. I think that basically the short answer is that you would have to play with OData, and very likely you will have to get dirty with VB, for example, in Excel in order to create some code that will do the search for you. Or you can implement the SSRS and SSIS connection, and I believe it's much simpler in that case.
And actually, I'll add to that. So when we talk about reports that are specific to an individual, it might depend on the type of data you need them to see. So if you're talking about the projects that a project manager owns, then yeah, Mark's right. We'd have to look at the entities and see if project owner is a field. Maybe you could filter on an OData. But there's also scenarios around individuals like team members, right, and seeing the work that they need to complete. And there are scenarios in Project Online and across SharePoint Online that focus on giving the user all of their work, like in one place. So you could take advantage of things like the MySite. And has anybody heard about the MySite capabilities and looking at your tasks in MySite? A few hands? Okay. Just a couple hands, so that's good. I'll explain it just briefly. When you do things like add tasks in the SharePoint task list, or you create tasks in Project Online, there's actually a work management service that's running, and it aggregates these tasks for that user. So now in 2013, an individual user can go to their My Site, and then they can see all the tasks that are assigned to them across these different lists. So it's a little bit of a different format than building an Excel report that you can give someone and mail them, but it gives them a place to go to see all the work that they need to complete. And then in the My Site view, you can actually create a timeline that's specific to an individual user. So it's giving them some information that they may need to care about and that's pertinent to them, just in a slightly different format. So I would encourage you to look at the My Sites, the work management service, the new timeline that's there. Users can go to that page. They can do statusing to mark these tasks as complete. And then it pushes back to the SharePoint task list and into projects. So
that's great. Yes, that's a little bit different scenario. That's not exactly a report, but you could do this, and you can also, to add to what Mike said, you can also sync to Exchange after that. So from all of these tasks that we gathered and we can show for that specific user on my task, you can link this up to the Exchange, and then the user will have access to this on his mobile phone, for example, or any Exchange device.
So we just have a few more minutes. Let's get to this one last question.
I would love to add to your question, because we have outlined many interesting solutions. There was actually a solution starter that we built for Project Server 2007 that was working on 2010 as well, that extended the SSRS reports, because the SSRS report could include a code that would check the permissions of the user and pretty much get only the data that the user has a permission to, and then based on that data, it would render the report. Steven Sanderlin has built that solution starter. I'm not sure if it's still available.
That works on print for 2010. That and 2013, yes. You're correct. But in OData, that doesn't
with
work.
Your solution now?
No, because with the SSIS connection, you have one connection to fetch the data in project, and that's very likely an admin that has access to everything. So.
Okay.
That's correct. With OData, you have access to everything. As soon as you give OData access, that user has access to everything.
Is there any determination to sunset on-prem project or project server?
To sunset on-premises project server?
Well, yeah. Will that ever go away, standalone? Will there ever be a time where you just say, you can only get it online?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that it's been communicated that we've understood there is demand for continued releases of the server products. I don't think there's been any official announcements about any dates or what's going to be, you know, included. But you know, it's been publicly known that we've heard feedback from the industry that there's still a demand for on-premises server products. So I know our leadership is trying to take that feedback and see what they can do about it. Now, any of the existing server and client projects, of course, would sunset using the normal Microsoft Office or release cycle, you know, which is, you know, between 5 and 10 years, I think.
But we here don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming today. I just wanted to call out that there is another Chalk Talk and Q&A session tomorrow focused on Project Server IT Pro questions. And if you can fill out the evaluations, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.